Okay. So we're in the middle, we've taken a short detour from the Gemara to look at this piece from the Rav about Nesiat Kapayim, about Birkat Kohanim. He had quoted the Gemara in Sota that listed all of these psukim, that for each of the possible duchenings, the weekday duchening, Shabbos Musaf, Mincha on a fast day, and Ne'ilah, that there were three psukim that would be recited by the attendees in response to the three brachot that are given by the Kohanim. We talked about this question, these two opinions in Rashi, about exactly who's getting the bracha, va'ani avarchem, is
who's
it
giving the bracha.
Who's giving the bracha, right? And who's getting the bracha? So these psukim, which we don't, you know, this whole Gemara and Sota, except for those of us that are holding in the Gemara and Sota, this whole thing is unfamiliar to us because we don't do this. So the Gemara says here, we'll backtrack a drop on the second page. On page, this is the Shiurim Lezecher Avi Mari, the Yahrzeit Shiurim for his father. And this is the final section of the larger essay on Nesiat Kapayim. So on page Resh Kuf Aleph, the first new paragraph. V'hanireh bazeh, dehine yu'an b'mishnah b'megillah. This is our Gemara. This is our Mishnah. Sheklala Nesiat Kapayim b'rishimat hadvarim she'enam ne'marim ela b'asara. That duchening is something that requires a minyan. You're a Kohen, right?
Yeah.
V'hine b'gemara sham mivuar min animili omer b'chi bar abba omer b'chi yochanan v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael kol davar shpektusha lo yehe pachot ma'asara. You have to look on with somebody. We're out of the... Excellent. Yeah, I wondered when everybody returned it last week, I was wondering how are they going to do chazara during the week. But then I figured
we all went to Benny's house.
Well, I figured everybody has the book at home.
Listen to it online.
You listen to it online. I can check the statistics. It would be very surprising to see that there's...
It's in the dark web. One of us downloads it, and the rest of us share it on all these sharing sites.
I see. So, as Birkat Kohanim requires a minyan. Mashma shetamu makor zeh mishamesh af la Birkat Kohanim. So this idea of v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, that every davar shebekedusha requires 10. So mashma from this that Birkat Kohanim is a davar shebekedusha, like Kaddish, like Kedusha, like Kriyas HaTorah. Ach yuan beran al harif sham shekatav uchtiv ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael emor lahem u'b'nei Yisrael asara mashma ki dalfinim b'gemar linyan davar shebekedusha. When it says you should bless the B'nai Yisrael, well, how many B'nai Yisrael are there? The mitzvah isn't you're a Kohen. Who else is a Kohen? You're a Kohen. No, you're not a Kohen. You're the only Kohen. You walk down the street, you see a Jew, you say to him, Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, that's not a mitzvah. Right? There's no mitzvah per se to recite this blessing outside of the context of the tefillah. Right? You know, like there's this question about we all say the Birkat Kohanim. When?
And,
no, but that's just reciting a pasuk. Right? When do you say, when does every non Kohen say the Birkat Kohanim? The Birkat Abanim. Right? So when I, who am not a Kohen, you who are no longer a Kohen, you know, bless your children. Then you say the psukim. It's not a bracha like Birkat Kohanim. It really is just reciting these psukim of bracha, as opposed to giving a bracha, which is why people are careful not to. Some people, this is not a universal custom. You know, if you notice when Rabbi Riskin, when he comes for a bar mitzvah and he calls up the bar mitzvah and he gives them the charge, and then he always says Birkat Kohanim because he in fact is a Kohen. So he actually does, you know, to live long and prosper. There's some poskim that that think this is not, like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't recite the psukim outside of the context of proper Birkat Kohanim. And certainly a non-Kohen should not do it, because it looks like you're doing Birkat Kohanim when you're not a Kohen. And even if you are a Kohen, it's like you're doing Birkat Kohanim outside of the context of the davening.
Of the other things that we included in the list of Rem Shibuk Tushad or Barminin, are any of them a mitzvah between us? Because the ones you mentioned weren't, and maybe that's the difference. There was Kedusha, Kaddish.
Depends on how you understand Kriyat Torah. Huh?
But Kriyat Torah, you could do Kriyat Torah even without Kriyat Torah, like in a you could do Kriyat Torah without a minyan. You could fill.
No, you can't. You can study Torah.
Okay, but certainly, I don't know. That's not like one of the. It's not a class.
No, in other words, by definition, Kriyat Torah is. It's a mitzvah derabbanan, right?
Okay,
right?
No. So that's what I'm saying. So that maybe that's the distinction that the Rebbe's making, or in the Ron is quoting that this is a mitzvah that has a requirement that it's with a minyan, and these other things which are dvarim shebik tusha, there's a requirement. If you're going to do something that's a dvarim shebik tusha, then there's a requirement that dvarim shebik tusha have to have a minyan. But they're not the source of this, because it has its own mitzvah is going to have a different. A different, form.
Yeah, I think that's part of what he's getting at. That the requirement of a minion here is different than the requirement of a minion for Kaddish or Kedusha.
Right, but the reason why there wouldn't be any other examples is because none of those other examples would have their own mitzvah, that would have a requirement of that nature.
Right. Right, in other words, I don't have like an independent obligation to answer Kedusha unless I happen. I mean, besides the general obligation to pray with a minion, but.
Not.
Certainly not Diraisa to say Kedusha. Haresh Ladato. It seems, therefore, that the Ran is saying, Tzarich Asara Lebirkat Kohanim, Tzarich Asara Lebirkat Kohanim, Eina Mishum Davar Shebekedusha. Ela Shealfinin Midavar Shebekedusha, Ki Bechol Makom Sheh Torah Omeret, Bnei Yisrael, He Mitkavenet Lasara. In other words, it's not that Birkat Kohanim itself is a Davar Shebekedusha. It's that since the requirement to say Birkat Kohanim to this goof called Bnei Yisrael, what is the minimum number of Bnei Yisrael, of the community of the Jewish people, is 10. But not because, in other words, there's this, as David pointed out, there's this distinction between the Bram, however, Ayin Baramba. Shekatav ve'ein osin kein, you don't do birkat kohanim bepachot mi'asara ve'chein lo ye echad mivarech birkat shema v'hakol. This is the list of the things that require a minyan. This is what we talked about, the pares al hashma. Ve'ein omrim kaddish ela basara ve'ein hakohanim nosin yadayim ela basara v'hakohanim min haminyan shekol asara mi'israel heim hanikraim eida v'chule v'chol davar kedusha lo yehe ela batoch ha'eda mi'israel v'chule. Whereas the Rambam lists all the things that are Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, and it includes Birkat Kohanim without kind of papering over this distinction that the Rambam wanted to make. Mifurash ki Birkat Kohanim eina ne'emeret bepachot me'asara mishum shehi Dvar Shebe Kedusha. Balacha zu, little paragraph, balacha zu mevor yisod chadash. Birkat Kohanim mechayevet et hashomim b'sha'ar L'shevach l'kadosh baruch hu. When you hear the Birkat Kohanim, you're standing there. The crowd is standing at the shar, right to the azara. In Beit HaMikdash, when they hear the bracha, they have an obligation to praise God, and that the Gemara in. Excuse me. The Gemara in Sota is a reflection of that. Because what are all of those psukim? Well, they're all like ways of like blessing God, but they're all praises of God. Zoi chalot shem yuchedet. Shara yeshnam dinim shonim. Mi hu bechlal birka, umi eina bechlal bracha. Hamekablim et habracha, mitchayvim lehodot ulhalel Hashem. Einam yecholim lishmoa habracha mibli lahagiv al shmiya pla'it zu. you hear the bracha, whether it's the Kohanim blessing you or it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu blessing you through the Kohanim, and you, in other words, it's a gift that keeps giving, right? I give you a bracha, but the bracha comes with a string attached. As a recipient, as a hearer of the bracha, you are obligated to praise Hashem. Yeah, these shiurim were probably delivered in Yiddish. I think at a certain point he stopped in Yiddish and he started speaking in English. But I think that the early... No, he didn't deliver. That was true. The Rav rarely taught in Hebrew. I mean, there may have been some occasion when he visited Israel in 1935. But no, he spoke in Yiddish, but things were published in Hebrew.
Right, I'm saying, but this is somebody translated it.
No, I believe he wrote it. I think he wrote them.
He transcribed the...
I believe that he wrote them, and I can check on this.
But
but
I don't know if it was just like, okay, someone took the shirim that he gave and they transcribed it, or
I don't think he wrote them. He composed them in Hebrew, I believe, with an eye towards publishing them. But this is true for a lot of things. He would speak in English. Halachic man originated as a lecture. Rav Shurin Zecharon Levracha. Remember Rav Shurin from the other side of town? Rav Shurin told me he was present when in the 1930s, when the Rav delivered, before the Rav came to YU. I forget what year the Rav came to YU. Well, the Man of Faith was delivered in English. Halachic Man was delivered in English. Halachic Man was delivered in English. And it was, it may have been like an attempt to show that this European Rav was, and it was shortly after he came to America.
So he gave this in Boston?
No, he gave it in Hawaii. He was invited to give. There was some kind of special lecture that he was invited to come deliver, and the lecture that he delivered on that occasion was Halachic Man, and then it was published in Hebrew, and only later translated back to English. Lonely Man of Faith was, I mean, there were a series of talks that were delivered in a variety of settings. And you can look at, there are a number of essays that overlap with Lonely Man of Faith. There's an essay called Majesty and Humility, which, you know, very much overlaps with Lonely Man of Faith. And these were talks that he gave. I think one was delivered at MIT. One was delivered, Lonely Man of Faith itself was delivered to a group of...
Like the National Institute of Health or something like that.
It was a project financed by the National Institute of Mental Health for social workers. And I think the project, it was like a project related to marriage and the family or something like that, which is why, if you remember Lonely Man of Faith, it very much centers on what is that relationship between Adam and Eve, Adam 1 and Adam 2, and Eve 1, or... Well, there's a collection of essays called The Family Redeemed. That's one of those posthumous books that came out. So, anyway, so Lonely Man of Faith is really the only essay that he penned in English. All the other English essays were transcripts of talks, like all the books put out by Rabbi Bezdin, The Reflections of the Rav, and all of those things. Those where the Rav would give talks, they were recorded, or somebody else, the Ala Tshuva, all those, you know, somebody else wrote them up. Sometimes the Rav reviewed them, sometimes he didn't. Before they were published. Lonely Man of Faith is like, I think, the only real substantive essay that he penned in English and published in his lifetime. Yes, okay. You know who the first person to have read Lonely Man of Faith was? No, I think it was published. Yeah, she was still alive. Yes, so maybe outside of maybe Rav Aaron read it, maybe Salvechik read it. Rabbi Bravender, 1965. Rabbi Bravender was the what was called the editorial assistant for Tradition magazine. You know, he was in Smicha. We still have, you know, there's always like a college kid who's like, and his only job that year was the Rav had promised to write this essay. And had not done it. And his only job that was given to him by the editor was to pester the Rav, which was not something that, you know, a sane person would do. So from time to time he would ask him, this is, you know, one day, you know, he went up to the Rav, and, you know, the Rav's getting the elevator, and he said, pardon me, Rav, and Rav, as the elevator doors are closing, the Rav shoved a manila envelope out and said, here it is, Bravender, leave me alone. And he ran back to the dorm room, and he read the typescript, and it was the first two. Okay. Line 20. Balacha zu mivuar yisod chadash. Birkat Kohanim mechayevet et hashomim b'shar l'shabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can you think of another example of something that carries an ancillary, is that the right word? No. An accompanying obligation, l'shabeach, l'hodot, l'shabeach, Baruch Hu. Yeah, well, you have the obligation to respond.
Well,
halal is that?
Halal itself is
there's something where there's a mitzvah and there's an accompanying obligation with the mitzvah. L'shabel, l'halel, l'hodot, l'shabel, l'fael, l'ramel.
Yeah. But that's halal also.
No, but why is there halal at Leila Seder?
Because you can say tomorrow.
No, say it, but why? In other words, when you sit in the sukkah, there's no accompanying obligation to say halal in the sukkah. Right? You're doing a mitzvah, but it doesn't carry an accompanying obligation.
You're reliving the nes.
Right? So that's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim carries with it an accompanying obligation of halal. I don't know. Because Hallel is the definition of, you know, is of Hallel. That's why it's called Hallel. Also because Az Yashir is not for the Nes of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's for the Nes of Kriyat Yamsuf, which is in a week from now. It's not done Leila Seder. So the mitzvah of Sipur, that's what the Rav, in a different essay in this volume, the Rav differentiates between the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, the mitzvah, the twice daily, yom yom mitzvah of Zechirat. How do we do Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim every day, twice a day? In Kriyashma. And the mitzvah once a year of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. In the daily obligation of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'Ulam Lehim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emet. So, there's no obligation to then say Halil about it. What are some other distinctions between Sipur and Zechira? Yeah, Kol Amar Belasaper is a Meshubach. Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim is one posuk zeu. There's no others. You get no extra credit for going on and on and on. La'arot et atzmo. Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, we relate to it as a distant historical event. There's no obligation. In 35 minutes, we're going to say Kriyat Shema. There's no obligation to imagine that we're leaving Mitzrayim when we say Kriyat Shema. But on Leila Seder, Chayav Adam La'arot et atzmo kilu hu. Ma'od?
Esrog?
Yeah. No, we're talking about the difference between Zechira and Sipur. It's true. No, you're answering an earlier question.
Right, because we pick up.
Yeah, so it's true that Lulav is connected to Hallel also. Correct. It's another example. What?
Is it related to. Who's obligated in it?
In other words, Sipur, who's obligated? And Zechira is a mitzvah that says she has a man grandma. Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim is a private recitation.
Why is Zechira mitzvah that says she has a man grandma?
Why is Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim? Because of the Shachbach of Kumecha.
That basically covers everything.
day and night.
No, it's
no, it's a mitzvah seishes zman.
That's the mitzvah seishes grandma. But essentially the chiyuv is on all time that there is.
No, there's no obligation at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, from the time when you get up to the time when you lie down.
There's a window in the morning,
okay,
and there's a window in the evening.
Correct.
Right? But even if it was in Nagid, that Kriyat Shema, you had to say it once in the daylight hours and once in the nighttime hours, it would still be a mitzvah to say Shazman Gemma.
Arguable, no?
No.
There's no time that the chiyuv doesn't exist.
There is. I have an obligation to say it the morning Shema. Again, in this hypothetical universe where you have the whole day to say it and the whole night to say it, I have an obligation to say the daytime Shema. That obligation ends at Shkia. And then a new obligation comes. It's not. It wouldn't be considered like a mitzvah tmidit, like belief in God. Right, this idea there's certain mitzvot tmidiyot that are always enforced 24/7. Right, so it wouldn't be like that. It would be like I have to check the box every day, twice a day. Right, you're like.
If you didn't say once, you would say okay, it's all day long. There is no.
So go back here to line 20. Balacha zu mevuah yisod chadash. Birkat kohanim mechayevet et hashomim b'shar l'shaber l'kadosh baruch. Hamitbarchim, those that receive the bracha, v'zehu chalot shem miyuchedet. Shar yeshnam dinim shonim mihu b'chalal bracha o mi'ena b'chalal bracha. To be a mitbarech, to be someone who is being blessed, puts the chalot shem is like a brisker category. Right? A chalot shem means that you are included in a certain category. Like a name applies to you. Right? So you're standing there in shul. Who knows what you're doing in shul? Maybe you're playing Sudoku. People do all types of things in shul these days on their phones. Right? And pitom the kohanim go up to the duchan and they say the bracha. That creates a halachic reality for you. Right? You become a mitbarech, one who is being blessed. And since you happen to be passing through of a kal v'chomer, if you were davening there, yiras kavod and kavana, you now an obligation is incumbent upon you. Right? You can't hear the bracha without responding. And the obligation to give thanks has two reasons behind it. Aleph.
Thanks or praise?
Both.
Lahodot lahalayel,
right? No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think he's. I think it's Hodah as thanks.
Habracha.
I don't think it's Hodah as in thanks, it's more acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement, yeah. Habracha shakonim mevarchim halo eina shayechet lahem. Hamevarecha ameitiwa kadosh baruchu. The bracha is not the Kohanim's. The Kohen does not give us the bracha. You're just the delivery boy. Who's the mevarech? Zakarish Baruch Hu. Kidichti bracha v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, and I will bless them. Now remember, there's two opinions in Rashi. What's the antecedent? We had a grammar lesson last week. Antecedent. What's an antecedent? What's the antecedent of the avarchem? The Kohanim. You Kohanim give a bracha to the Bnei Israel, and I, God, will bless you, the Kohanim, or you recite this blessing over the Jewish people, and I will bless the Jewish people. I said it backwards, right? The Rav is agreeing with the first opinion in Rashi, in the Chumash. V'chein mivur b'Rambam, v'al titma v'tomar ma to'il birkat hedyot. Zesh en kibul habracha talui b'kohanim el b'kadosh baruch hu. Shneimar v'ani avarchem. הכהנים עושים מצוותן שנצטוו בה, והקדוש ברוך הוא ברחמו מברך את ישראל כחפצו. So what do you need the kohanim for? If Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bless the Jewish people, why doesn't he just bless the Jewish people?
I'm familiar with the concept of having a bracha through some sort of kli. I mean, why do we like a glass of grape juice or wine to make kiddush? I mean, we just—it's the condiment.
Meaning, because Shabbos is kadosh, whether we bless it or not.
Well, that's even more. I'm just saying, even the bracha itself. Like any bracha you eat, it's through something.
Why do we need a bit to make dash? I mean, there's a tekes in the mikdash, so people will appreciate it.
Yes,
that's want to hear a bracha.
I think that's principally it, right? In other words, but really, it's not the kohanim. The kohanim are there just as the performers, and it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's channeling bracha through.
Probably, if you go back, all the way back to, in Sefer Shmuel and Vayikra, when they first get this mitzvah, so there was some difficulty with not having any sort of...
Bamidbar, Parshat Naso.
Well, I'm talking about, because you have in Parshat Shmini, you have the original Rachat, and it's parallel to what happened in the Shmuel also, so I'm saying, but like, the people in Shmuel, when they didn't have anything in between, like, God speaking directly, that was not...
In other words, according to the Rav, the Gemara in Sota shows us that the first opinion in Rashi must be true. That's if the bracha, if the source of the bracha really was the Kohanim, right? And we do have the idea of Birkot Hedyo, and I can give you a bracha, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can agree to make that come true or not, right? But I bless you, you should be happy about it.
Thank you.
Oh, shekein, oh, shalom.
You're wonderful.
Todarabha. Right? Oh, shekein, oh, shalom. But if, no, but if I'm wonderful, right? But if I tell you you should be happy and healthy, that does not obligate you to praise God and beyond whatever your daily obligation to praise God is. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu blesses you, then it is a chiyuv. So the fact that there's a chiyuv to respond shows that the bracha itself is real. The mivarech himself is really Hashem, not the kohen.
There's a problem with Rav.
There's a problem with.
There's an internal. There's a real problem with what the Rav is saying.
Yeah.
The Rav is saying that Avrachem is talking about the people, not talking about the kohenim.
Vani Avrachem, I God will bless the people. Yeah.
The people therefore include the kohenim.
Nagidche.
Well, I would assume, because otherwise, why would they be excluded?
Yeah, so maybe the Kohanim gets something else.
No, the point is the Shita, God says, I'll bless them separately. Right? According to the other Shita,
presumably the first day in Rashi means Avrachem, all of the Bnei Yisrael, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisrael, all together.
Right, otherwise, we have the same thing, wouldn't
you? So how come the Kohanim don't have to praise? Okay.
I mean, it's an obligation. According to the first, you thought you would say they wouldn't have to make a prayer because this is not their thing. They're getting blessed a different way. But here, they're being
okay. So maybe look. In other words, you could say it.
They are already involved.
They're involved.
They're a key part of it. Without them, why would they have to? Without them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give the bracha.
Well, first of all, you could say in a chenami. They don't get the bracha.
But you get a bracha.
No. Ani Avrachem, Ani Avarech. All of the people sitting in the shul, not on the duchen. Ani Avrachem, the Levim, and the Israelim. And the Kohanim get something else.
No. Why can't you look at it from the other point?
But even if it's...
are a kli for Kadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. So, the same... So, you're a kli for Kadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. So, the bracha is coming from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't make a difference who says it. Whether it's the Kohanim, the Levim, or Francis the Talking Mule, they're all going to get part of the bracha. It doesn't matter. Because the bracha is coming from Kadosh Baruch Hu. The kli doesn't matter.
And you could say that the Kohanim... It's clear that they're... Since they're so obviously not passive, or you could say it's Shomea Ka'one. The audience says these psukim, and then
and the Kohanim are part.
And the Kohanim,
I think that's the mechanism. Just like the Kohanim have to pass on the bracha, I'm answering.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
I understand your point, but it's answerable. So im lo nivarech harei nechta b'kfiya tova. If we don't recite those psukim, if we don't bless God back, then we would be guilty of ingratitude. Velev Evan, we'd have a stony heart. She'eno margishet tovo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that cannot fathom the goodness, the graciousness of God. Ein amirat ha-pasuk t'nai b'birkat kohanim, ela kiyum mitzvat hoda'a. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I go to shul, and the kohanim deliver God's blessing. And everybody responds with these psukim, but I don't open my mouth. Did I get the bracha? I got the bracha. What didn't I get? Well, I can't put the check mark next to my obligation to responsibly praise God in thanks for this bracha. I am ungrateful. Somebody gives you a present. What did your mother tell you to do? Say thank you. If you don't say thank you, you get to keep the present? Yeah. Kishem
Shah. But you don't get a present the next time.
Yeah, it could be next to you.
Unless
don't get
your mother was very strict.
Kishem Shah Adam Mivarech HaTov Ameiti Vaz
Shmua Tov. That's another example. That's another example where you hear something
right.
And you have to answer.
Right. Bet. Now here's the other element to all this. Nesiat Kapayim Mivyali De Hashrat Shechina. The recitation of this bracha by the Kohen brings about the presence of the divine, the presence of the divine presence. This is the Gemara we saw 2 weeks ago about why don't look, because the Shekhinah would be there on their hands. Yesh ba mishum mifgash kudsha brichu v'chneset Yisrael panim el panim. The face-to-face encounter between the Holy One, blessed be He, and the Jewish people. V'hine yan b'gemara b'sota. So a Kohen who absents himself from Duchening violates 3 mitzvot aseh. Right? You can't violate a mitzvot aseh. But if you are mivatel in aseh, if you it's a sin of omission instead of a sin of commission. Right? Where I lost my place. Yeah, call it right. Vatam berambam, kol kohen she'eno ole leduchan, afa pi shebatel mitzvat ase achat, hare ze ko'over al shalosh ase shne'emar v'chule. He quotes the pasuk. Bier hadvarim, ki yeshnam shlosha kiyumim b'nesiat kapayim. There are 3 things that are accomplished when the Kohanim bless the Jewish people. Right? It's one mitzvah. What's a kiyum? A kiyum. What's a kiyum?
Translation?
Well, let's start with the translation.
Fulfillment.
Yeah, fulfillment. So, Birkat Kohanim, it's one mitzvah. Like, if you look in the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvot, it doesn't count as 3 mitzvot. Even though there are 3 brachot.
But it accomplishes
3 things. It's like one mitzvah with 3... however God keeps His books. It's got 3 check marks. Right, it's like the machlokas about tefillin. Is tefillin one mitzvah or is it 2 mitzvahs? Right? So the Rambam says tefillin is 2 separate mitzvot aseh. They're obviously very closely related. Right? Tefillin shel Rosh and tefillin shel Yad are more closely related than Esrog and Shatnez. Right? But they're 2 independent mitzvot. Other Rishonim thought that they were one mitzvah. But even if you think that Tefillin Shel Rosh and Shel Yad are one mitzvah, it obviously has 2 kiyumim. Right? There's 2 different aspects to it. This has to do with like whether you say 1 bracha or 2 brachot, and like why we're careful not to speak between the 2. But yeah, just in case. So bier hadvarim ki yeshna shlosha kiyumim b'nesiat kapayim. Aleph, bracha shakonim yitkavnu levarech et ha'am v'shehabracha tachul aleihem. The first is the actual bracha itself. The Kohanim have to have kavona when they say this bracha. Just lahavdil, like when I say a bracha on an apple, I should have kavona. I should know what I'm doing. I should know that this bracha 8 applies to the apple. Not that Birkat Kohanim and Birkat Nenim are in the same category, but you understand my point. That the Kohanim have kavanah to bless the people, and that the blessing should... What? Should apply to them. Milat ba'ahava more al hebed zeh. Right? I'm going to say unique, but maybe somebody can think of another example. It's a unique So another example of a bracha, where in the bracha, there's a word which qualifies the emotion you should be feeling. No, but there's no bracha.
It's not in the bracha. It doesn't appear as part of the bracha.
Right? That it's not enough to bless the Jewish people. As we could say, Asher Kitchen Mitzvanu, Levarech et Amo Yisrael. Period. That bracha would work. It would make perfect sense. But it's not sufficient. You have to bless the Jewish people and you have to do it with love. Right? We don't say, Lahaniach. Al mitzvah tefillin lahaniach tefillin ba'ava lahaniach tefillin ba'yira, right? Generally, the mitzvah just tell you what the action is. Here, part of the very action is the mode with which, the emotional mode with which, the kohanim are to carry out their task. No, shachianu is it's declarative. It's you look in the calendar, you say, oh, today's the date. Blessed are you that you've kept us alive until this point. But we don't say...
More inferred. Like, okay, well...
Yeah, it's inferred. It's a happy thing. We're glad we made it. But it's there's nothing in the bracha that tells you... Right? And certainly in Birkot HaMitzvah... Even Birkot HaTorah. Lasok b'divrei Torah. Well, lasok b'divrei Torah b'simcha.
And even if there was, it wouldn't necessarily be a requirement. You could have an adjective, but it's not going to be a requirement.
Right.
Now you're asking for it.
Right. Right. You're not the. So, shakonim yikavnu levarech et ha'am, v'shehabracha tachul aleihem mil ba'ev zeh. Bet mitzvat amirat shloshet ha'psukim lefnei atzibur, the actual recitation of the psukim. Bracha v'amira mehavim shtei bachinot nifredot. In other words, there's the bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael be'ahava. And then there's the actual performance of the deed, which is the recitation of these three psukim. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerech v'chulei.
He says even more than that. It's not even bracha. It's saying the three psukim on one hand, and they're becoming a bracha through the regesh of ahava.
Right. In other words, it's not, and that's the difference between merely reciting the psukim the way we do it in Birkat Torah. And in other words, that's why you need the ba'ahava. The ba'ahava is the secret sauce that converts the mere recitation of a pasuk into
a bracha.
I'm thinking this fits in with the essay you have to revise.
You mentioned that you thought there was a got a parallel to the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think that's
In other words, what convert? In other words, the Birkat Kohanim is not when the Kohanim go up and say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah V'tzivanu Levarech Ata Amo Yisrael Be'ahava. That's not Birkat Kohanim. That's the Birkat HaMitzvah that one recites, just like Leshev Basukah is not the sitting in the sukkah. The bracha of Leshev Basukah. What's the sitting in the sukkah? Is the sitting in the sukkah. Right? These are two different things. So the first thing is the bracha. The second thing is the actual, the Birkat HaMitzvah. The next part is the actual bracha, which is the reciting of the three psukim. But what converts that act from the mere recitation of psukim to being, I could right now say those three psukim. B'shem u'malchut. Is it Birkat Kohanim? No, not just because I'm not a Kohen, but because it's not performed as an act of blessing.
Oh, it's like most of the Kohen mitzvot, you turn that thing into an act. I mean, that's the purpose of it. That's why we do it.
Right, but the word.
Right. So, but here, even that might not be enough. What's the secret? The secret source is the ahava, is the regesh.
He's saying you have the usually, if you're blowing shofar, so it's enough. You say, I'm making a bracha to indicate that I'm going to. That's the kavanah you mentioned in the previous year. That the bracha itself is the showing you have the kavanah to do the mitzvah. And because it's just enough, if you do it, however you, whatever you're feeling at the time, it's enough. Here, there's another requirement of Ahava, so you have to mention that in the bracha. And if you in the bracha have indicated you have Ahava, therefore the mitzvah you're doing,
but you have to have it. Right. When you say the psukim, it has to be said.
But why wouldn't it be sufficient to say a bracha to show?
No, so that's the point. Now, when Chazal were metaken the bracha to include sui generis, the word be'ahava, as an indicator of this is the secret recipe. It's what converts the mere recitation of psukim into a cheftza shel bracha. And when the Kohanim recite those psukim with kavana v'regesh ahava, then it
and
is.
Why it would be necessary to have
so again, it might not have been a sec, except for the fact that Chazal thought it was necessary when they coined the bracha.
The word is necessary because the condition is required.
Condition of ahava.
Yeah.
It's a question. They put that into bracha just the same.
I mean, generally speaking, just like we say, generally speaking, mitzvah ein ansuchat kavana, which is a topic we've talked about probably 100 times over the last number of years.
Which could have kavana to bless.
Yeah, but that's not called Birkat Kohanim.
That's not the bracha. The bracha requires ahava.
If you don't have the ahava, then it ain't Birkat Kohanim, which is a problem. But that's why there's a halacha, right? If you have a fight with some guy in the shul, right? There's somebody in the shul you know you can't muster whatever the minimal ahava is. Obviously, there's ahava and ahava. The ahava that you have for your own children is one thing. The ahava that you have for somebody you don't even know his name, he just davens in the same minyan with you, right? You know, but it's the ahava that one Jew should have for another Jew, right? But you need to at least have that. And if there's somebody who really mamish hate his guts for whatever reason, so then you're calling, you can't go up if he's in the audience because you can't.
That contradicts what you said earlier about a fiddle kohen idiot. What if a kohen idiot hates his congregation, so then he can't bless them, they won't get blessed.
Like, yes, the person has to move. Like it's like a, like it's a problem. He would have to like go out, right? He would have a problem like every day, like duchening, unless he like somehow overcame these negative feelings that he had.
So it's not like simply that God wants to bless. Like you know, like it's not enough for the Quran to say it. So like there is, if you asked the question earlier, why doesn't God just bless them straight? So the Quran has to have like an active love for his people.
You know, it's like as if he's the. Right, like in other words, I talk to somebody on my phone. Right? I'm not talking to the phone. I'm talking to another human being who's on the other side. But if, like, there's a piece of my lunch, this happened to me, if there's like a piece of my lunch in the, wherever the voice goes in, like, so he can't hear me. Like, there's something wrong with the vessel, is blocking it. So a lack of ahava causes the line to be broken. You can't be a kli for God's bracha if you have hatred for somebody that's meant to be getting
it. What it does indicate, though, what they're saying is that it's not, you're not like a completely neutral. It's the Kohani were not just some, they're not like it's not a, you know, a tin can.
Right.
They have to play an active role because they're filtering that thing. If there's something wrong, you know.
Yes.
There's a difference between hitting somebody in the congregation and actively
okay, so look, in other words, the status quo is
neutral.
No. Status quo is ve'ahavta lerecha kamocha. The status quo is ve'ahavta lerecha kamocha. Right?
That's the default.
Now, ve'ahavta lerecha kamocha. The status quo is Jews love each other. Right? What? So, in Agdon's Tzvul Shel Shom, when they're on the boat, he's on the boat coming, you know, in Aliyah in 1908. The character. So somebody asks him, "Who are you? You know, who's your mishpocha in Eretz Yisrael? Who's going to take care of you?" And Yitzchak Kumer, the main character, says. Gornish, nothing, nobody, no family. I don't have anybody. I don't know. I don't know where I'm gonna be. We're gonna dock today in Yafo. I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. So the guy says to him, "Who are you?" You know, the older character, knowing that there's something a little naive about this, says, "Who's gonna take care of you?" And Yitzchak responds, "Kol Yisrael chaverim." And the character says, "That's good for." That's good for Birchas HaChodesh. But in the real world, you need somebody to look out for you. He doesn't use the word protectia, but he's talking about protectia. He dies. it's a tragedy. I mean, it takes 600 pages to get there, but it's a tragedy. He dies in the end. Bit by a rabid dog.
Right?
Yeah.
The book's... You didn't do a spoiler.
The book's been around for 80 years. You had your chance. It's the... Moby Dick? They all die in the end. Right? And I, only I alone, am left to tell the tale.
You ruined another one.
It's the way. Getting there.
The whale doesn't die. Yeah.
You said everyone.
All the men on the ship, yeah. I'm sorry, where are we? What line are we on? Simat Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Bnei Yisrael Klomar Hashra'at Shechinato al HaKa'al HaNitzavim B'Shat Nesiat Kapayim Lefnei Hashem Elokim Shehu HaMevarech Et Yisrael. When the blesser of the Jewish people, meaning God, is being blessed through the Kohanim, then God is present. Now, what does it mean that the Shekhinah is there? Does it mean, marry and don't look, close your eyes? Right? But does it mean that when God is blessing them, so he's present, right? He's with us. You know, like that Peter, Paul, and Mary song.
Which one?
It's called the wedding song.
Oh, yeah.
You can look it up on.
Yeah.
Kol tochen habracha. Kol tochen. La 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 There is love.
Yeah.
There is love. Kol tochen habracha odot meor panim. Nesiat panim osek bahashrat hashchina. Umikan shebeemtzuteha mitkayem mifgash ima. When there's blessing, when there's love, that's Peter, Paul, Mary. When there's love, right? When there's blessing with love, so then God is present.
Maybe that's where they got the song from. Klum efshar lezakot
lemor panav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu bli chavayat gilui hashchina. Is it possible to imagine that we would merit the shining presence of God without the revelation of the divine presence? So there are these three things that happen.
And each of those pesukim, Kol Tevarchu is the initial bracha, and Emor Lahem is say those three pesukim, and Samu which means.
Say that again. Say this more carefully, because what you're saying is correct. The Rav doesn't say this.
Well, I think he's.
It's implied.
Yeah, Kol Tevarchu is the bracha, the actual bracha d'Hashem. Emor Lahem is say those three pesukim, and Samu which means is the.
Yefemod. Yefemod.
I don't think it's right.
Right, but he doesn't connect it to, he doesn't unpack it and connect the dots to each pasuk, but I think you're absolutely right. If I steal that and I say it next year on Parshat Noso, I'll, you know, have to credit you. So I ain't Barambam Perek Yudal Milchus Tfilo, Ketzad Hi Nesiat Kapayim Begvulin. But what about outside the Mikdash? All of this was inside the Mikdash. But what about outside the Mikdash? Be'et Shiyagiyah Shatz Lavoda Keshiyomar Retzei כל הכהנים עומדים בבית הכנסת נעקרים ממקומות והולכים ועולים לדוכן ועומדים שם פניהם להיכל ואחוריהם כלפי העם ואצבעותיהם כפופות לתוך כפיהם. Do you do this? Before you turn around, how are your hands? Like what shape your hands in? Right? So he talks about this. Before the bracha, the Rambam says your hands should be kind of like this. Right? You know, like you don't take the gun out of the holster until you're ready to shoot. Right, so your hands are like this, and only when you start the bracha do you go full Spock. And then they raise their hands to the height of their shoulders, right? Umatchilin yivarecha v'chulei. Kesh yashlimu akonim shlosha psukim matchil shatz birkat bracha achrona shel tefila shehi sim shalom. והכהנים מחזירים פניהם כלפי הקודש, back to the Aron, וקופצין אצבעותיהם ועומדים שם בדוכן. Right? They holster their guns, they unspock. היוצא מדבריו כי לפני שהכהנים nitba'im livarech etzbotehem tzrichot liot kfufot. Their fingers should be unextended, bent. V'rak la'achar ha-bracha, meaning asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav, heim poshtin et etzbotehem u'machzirin pneim klapei ha'am. But tzarich la'avin, mahi chashivut pishut etzbot. What's this deal with bending the fingers and opening the fingers? Inyan achzarat panim lekahal halo novea migzeret hakasuv ko tivarchu. Panim keneged panim. Aval pishut etzbot mativo. As I understand why they have to face us. What's the general posture in Beit Knesset? I mean, Beit Knesset, everybody faces their own. So except for when they're actually reciting the bracha, they're also facing the Aron. But they can't recite the bracha facing the Aron with their backs to us. Because what does it mean, kotiv varchu? How do you bless somebody? You don't bless somebody by showing them your back. You bless them by showing them your face.
Panim
al panim. That's why you're like these customs. We don't have, because we don't have so much of the voodoo that they have in, because we're used to duchen every day. But in Chutzlar, it's at least amongst Ashkenazim, there's all this voodoo. So I remember, you know, they were... I remember there was a woman in the shul I grew up in. You know, she was one of the more learned women, but she had all of the old superstitions about duchen, about not, you can't look, you'll go blind. Right? And as a kid, I had no idea what she was talking about. Right? And she would tell her daughters, turn around. And they would stand, they would turn their backs to the kohanim. Right?
Which is
the exact opposite. Right. Right. All right, so this question of what is this thing with the Etzba'ot. Maybe we'll spend one more week on this, then we'll go back to the Gemara. I just want to add, last week I spoke a little bit about, you know, how sad we were about your father, Zechariah Levracha, and you know, he learned with us for quite a few years, and it when somebody has the relationship of learning Torah together, it's a special connection. And, we're all very, very sad. Do you want to say Kaddish? Do you want to?
10 people, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.